Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You know, we keep drinking from the same poison wells, and it's ruining our lives and ruining the next generation. It's like, when are we going to smart up? That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Been preaching on revival and preaching specifically on Elijah. I told you I was going to do it for 3 Sundays in a row. I'd never done anything like that before. And in fact, I heard several comments during the week, and they're here this morning. All 3 of them said, "Oh, we're going to. I guess we don't need to go to church next Sunday. We're going to hear about Elijah again." And one of them, his boy said, "Well, Dad, that's probably because you didn't get it yet, and he's going to have to preach it the 3rd time." And I don't want to name names, but the last name is McGuire. I want you to know that. All right. And if Wayne will get it this morning, we're going to move on next week. Now, it's a different text. And I remembered something from my one of my church history classes, and so I looked it up, and sure enough, D.L. Moody was in London preaching, and while he was there, he heard a young evangelist preach by the name of Henry Moorhead. And he told this young man, he said, "Listen, if you ever get to the States, knowing that that would never happen, I'll give you my pulpit one Sunday." Well, lo and behold, soon he gets a telegram. It says, "Landed in New York, will be there Sunday a.m. to preach." This is in Chicago. He was surprised at the telegram, but it just so happened that Brother Moody was going to be gone all week. So he never did this, but without hearing and knowing too much about him, he gave him his pulpit that morning. And Henry Moorhead preached a message from John 3:16. And then Sunday night, he come back, he preached again, John 3:16. He preached John 3:16 every night that week. Scores of people were saved. Different message, same text. Scores of people were saved. In fact, Henry Moorhead's ministry only lasted 17 years, and then death came knocking. You know what's interesting? Every time he preached, his text was John 3:16. An inexhaustible flower planted in the flower garden of Holy Writ, John 3:16. So, I'm no Henry Moorhead, and I'm no D.L. Moody, but take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings in chapter 18. 1 Kings in chapter 18. I want you to know, man, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for revival. I read of the great D.L. Moody and how God used him, and Lee Robertson and how God used him, and the Texas, the man they called the Texas Tornado, J. Frank Norris, and I don't think he did everything right, and he was an independent Baptist, but man, he built a church in Fort Worth near 20,000 people, and he was a great man of God. And then G.B. Vick down in Temple Baptist in Detroit, and built a church there of 15,000 people at one time. And I'm hungry for that kind of thing. I read about men like Billy Sunday, who was a Civil War orphan and raised in an orphanage, got saved. He was a professional baseball player and played for the Chicago White Stockings at that time. Heard a mission preacher preaching, and he received Jesus. His friend said, "Hey, let's go." They're headed off to the bar after they had their fun, listened to a little bit of what the preacher had to say. And he said goodbye to his friends. He said, "Listen, I like what I'm hearing." And he got born again that day. And man, he preached all over America. Had a great impact on this nation of ours. It is said that 1 million people walked the Sawdust Trail and shook the hand of evangelist Billy Sunday and received Christ as their Savior. Bars closed down. Debauchery in cities changed to righteousness. Real revival. I read that kind of thing and I'm thirsty. There was another man that overlapped his ministry by the name of Mordecai Ham. How many have ever heard of Mordecai Ham? He was an independent Baptist evangelist. He actually died in 1961 at the age of 84. Even though he wasn't as well known as Billy Sunday, it is said that 1 million people were saved under his ministry. Listen to this. This is on record. 303,387 people were baptized and joined Baptist churches as a result of people getting saved at his revival meetings. Man, that's tremendous. That's one out of every three people. One out of every three people after salvation following the Lord in baptism and becoming members of a church. I hunger for that. Dr. Dallas Billington, born in Kentucky, builder and preacher of Akron Baptist Temple, numbered 15,000. At one time was the world's largest Sunday school. 50th anniversary, he preached to 50,000 people. And that wasn't all that long ago. And I'm thinking, it can happen again. I thirst for that. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, New Park Street Baptist Church, then the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle, built an auditorium to seat 6,000 people, and people laughed at him. That place was filled every service. And the lower level of the church filled with 2,000 prayer warriors during some of those services. They opened the doors. Not only was every seat taken, but people stood around the perimeter of the auditorium, standing room only, as he stood and preached faithfully the Word of God. And then I see Michigan today. I see America and what has happened. I'm thirsty. I want revival. Take your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 18. Perhaps you're already there. Would you stand with me? I'm going to have a word of prayer. Read a short passage, then have a word of prayer, and trust that God will take over in this message. I'm going to try not to preach what I preached last week, but it's kind of hard. You prime the pump and it kind of takes off. That's really kind of how it works. But I'm conscious. I want you to know I am always sensitive to preaching repetitively. I don't want to do that. That's not my desire this morning. A little bit of foundation has to be laid. We're going to get right to it. God, would you bless? Would you take over? Would you speak to hearts? We too have a famine in our land. That famine is a result of the drought, the lack of the Word of God, a lack of New Testament Christianity, a lack of churches living out the old time religion 7 days a week. God, the devil has beat on the church here in Michigan with both fists. God, would you revive your people? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing for just a moment. Old King Ahab, he was an evil and wicked king. 22-year reign. The prophet came and said, 3 years, it's not going to rain. There's not going to be any dew. And there was a drought. As a result of that drought, there was a famine. As a result of that famine, there was no harvest. They were getting desperate. First point of my message this morning. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. You may be seated. 22-year reign, old King Ahab. He had a wicked wife. He wasn't alone. She was always whispering in his ear. She was always encouraging him towards evil and debauchery and wickedness and Baalism. And he built a temple for Baal. Yeah, among God's people, there's a temple for Baal. And Baal worship is going on. And up in the groves, there was in the high places, there was idolatry going on among the people of God. Israel had become a wicked place, a wicked nation. And Jezebel was behind the scenes pulling the strings on her puppet king and encouraging him to evil. And instead of being a man of righteousness, he did more in the sight to anger the Lord, in the sight of the Lord to anger him, than any other king before him. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible tells us, and we read it last week, he sold his nation to evil. He sold his soul to working that which was wicked. And it describes so many people in the world in which we live today. We are in great need of revival. There's a drought in the land. Livestock is dying. People are fading away. He finally says to his servant, this is Ahab, says to his servant who is a man of God, he says, Obadiah, you go one way, I'll go another way. We've got to find water. We've got to find pasture, not a bale of hay. We've got to find pasture just to save the horses and the mules, at least to save that much livestock. We've got to do something. Things are bad. No rain, no dew. You know what it's like if you live in the sand and there's no rain after a while, man. The dew kind of saves us a lot. And we're good here in the UP. It's different. Other places, they actually got to water their lawns and you know, and things just dry up and blow away real quickly. 3 years. And it was the judgment of God upon his people because they had done evil. There was a drought. Here's the deal. We've got to get desperate. We want to have revival. Been preaching on it now for a couple of Sundays. I share it again this morning. We've got to do our part. It's going to start. Things have all been settled, all been finalized. Pretty soon we're going to have the posters. Posters aren't going to bring revival, but and the handouts, but you use them as a tool. It's going to start in Clio, Michigan. Then it's going to move to Saginaw, Michigan. And then it's going to move to Gaylord, Michigan. And then it's going to move to Kinross, Michigan. The majority of the time is going to be right here in Kinross. This is supposed to be the climax. It's going to start in the south of the state and move to the north of the state. Now, that's just human plans. That's all that is. But we got to get desperate. We got to look to God. We've got to start praying and meaning our prayers and asking God to do great things. I'll tell you what, some of the revival prayer meetings that I have been in the last month have been amazing. They've been amazing. In one auditorium, I was praying with a bunch of preachers, and there was a man, I won't name him, he's a godly man. He truly is a holy man. He truly is, and he loves God, and he's very humble, and he's leading a great church. And you know, if we would just get desperate, we'd figure out what prayer is all about again. You know, if we got thirsty, if we got desperate and knew that we were going to die without water, we're going to shrivel up without revival, we'd get serious. And I'll tell you what, it broke my heart. We're scattered around this big church auditorium and we're praying and asking God to move and God to visit his people again. And I just happened to look and some people were standing, some people were laying prostrate at the altar, some people were actually walking, undisturbing other people and praying. And I looked over in the corner and here's a man that I greatly respect. And he's an old man. And here's what I saw. You know, we try to pray like men. I pray walking a lot. Sometimes I get down on one knee, you know, like an athlete would do, and oh God, you know, and that's wonderful. You know what I looked over and saw? Nobody else saw this but me. He was like this. And he was asking God for great revival in his part of Michigan. Man, we've got to get desperate. And what's encouraging to me, two things. One thing discouraging, how many preachers I've talked to, and they don't even understand. They don't even get it. They think everything's fine. I'm thinking, what in the world? But there's a great number, and I'm finding more and more of them. They know what it's about. In fact, they're desperate. More than one. At first talking to them, their eyes swell up with tears. Man, we gotta have it in Michigan. There's a whole generation that has no idea of what it is to walk with God. None. They think it's hearing a good song, or being entertained, or walking to church. They don't know what it is to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. What a great God you are. They have no idea because they're so distracted. We need revival in Michigan. We need the kind of revival that will just get in. I mean, we'll spread. Here's the deal. This was last week's message in a nutshell. It's up to us to rebuild the altar. Remember reading that last week? Remember Elijah, the prophet of God, after the prophets of Baal had their moment in the sun and they failed because idolatry doesn't work. Empty religion is just that, empty. They called upon God all day long and right up to the evening sacrifice and then they'd listen and nothing. That's the gods of this world. Then the prophet of God prays an eloquent prayer, but before he did that, he had to rebuild the altar. That's amazing. It's Israel and the altar isn't there. There's the prophets. There's an altar to Baal, but the altar isn't there. And it's like the old time altar where it was 12 unhewn stones. Not that was by design. That's what God commanded. 12 unhewn stones, not touched by man, not chiseled on in any way, shape. 12 rough stones made by God. 12 stones, each of the 12 stones representing a single tribe out of Israel. And the prophet all by himself took those 12 stones, who knows how far he carried them, and he rebuilt the altar. Then he laid the wood on. Then he cut up the bull and he put the animal on the altar for the sacrifice. His job was to rebuild the altar. That's your job and my job. That's the church. I'll come back to that in a real quick moment. God will send the fire. We don't have to work up revival. If you'll get involved with us in this prayer and praying and fasting on the first Wednesday of the month, I'll tell you something. There'll be a battle. The devil's going to take all of the strays he can. But don't be afraid. The power of God is greater. Our job is to rebuild the altar. And that's unity. The kingdom's already divided, the northern and the southern kingdom. What a sermon Elijah preached. He didn't use 10 stones and then leave two off, or two stones, leave 10 off. He put 12 stones together. He rebuilt the altar. God provided the fire. He prayed. God provided the fire. And then the rains came. God provided those as well. Look at 1 Kings in chapter 18, all the way over to verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That's revival. That the north may know. That Michigan may know. This morning again, I prayed for every county in Upper Michigan. Man, I prayed for sister churches in Upper Michigan. Everyone that I could remember this morning. Man, we gotta have revival fires. We need rains from God. We can't go on like it is. As we are in a bubble at Fundamental Baptist Church. It's a good bubble. We have not arrived. We are not everything that God wants His church to be. We need revival. But I'm telling you, outside that bubble, it's worse. It's worse. It's unbelievable what is going on today in the name of God. It's unbelievable. And it's no wonder people don't walk the aisles. No wonder they don't have an altar call. It's no wonder they don't have a prayer meeting. It's no wonder that people have drifted so far from God and call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's Old Testament. That's Bible. And the people of God had gotten that to that place. In Michigan, we've got to have revival. Somebody has got to get desperate. Recognize the need. I'll say this about preparing the altar, rebuilding the altar. Don't be satisfied with what you are today. Don't be satisfied with whatever level of spirituality you are living out. You are not close enough to God. If somehow we could find out who the one, the man, the woman that walks closest to God is here in the church house this morning, and we'd probably be surprised who that is. If we could find out who it was, I'm telling you, they're a sinner. And they're saved by grace, and they got to get more like Jesus. We got to have revival. Don't you think we're good enough? That is a mistake. That is a lie hatched in the bowels of hell. You and I are not good enough. Even the great Apostle Paul said, I have not attained. I have not arrived. I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Be dissatisfied with where you are spiritually. Recognize your need. Ask God to transform your life. Elijah prayed and it stopped raining. You say, that isn't what my Bible... Yes, it does. It says that in James in chapter 5 and verse 17. He prayed and then it did not rain for 3 years. That's how he knew what to pronounce, what judgment to pronounce upon the king. Elijah was a man of prayer. And then at the end of 3 years, he prayed, rains came. Oh, what prayer can do if we just get serious about it. But I want to tell you this. You start praying and you're waving a red flag to the devil. You understand. If there's a chink in your armor, he's going to attack. You understand you're going to get in the battle now. You're at the front. You're in the front lines. Somebody sent me a picture of a poster that said, this last week it said, be the kind of man, live the kind of life that when your feet hit the ground in the morning, the devil says, oh no, he's up. Man, that's the way it ought to be. A warrior. Someone will turn the face of Satan pale because we know how to pray. Now don't go out and do it in your own strength. He'll knock you right between the eyes. And you go in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't just use those words. You're a prayer warrior. You pray. We need to ask God to transform our lives. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Turn there. Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, I beg you. Paul was all about this, man. He's talking to Christians. And he said, I'm begging. I am begging. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be separated. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and right and acceptable will of God. Paul says, I'm begging the church of Jesus Christ. Go all out for God. Sell out for Jesus Christ. I was so convicted about that this morning in my prayer time. I got to be more evangelistic than what I am. I got to be even more concerned about the lost than what I am. I'm handing out tracts all the time. I'm talking to people that cross my paths all the time. I got to do more of it. I really do. In Michigan, there needs to be somebody that will get desperate, be dissatisfied with where they are spiritually, ask God to transform your life, put yourself in the place of blessing. Verses 23 and 24, you're back here in 1 Kings and chapter 18. I'll not take time to read that this morning, but boy, Elijah certainly did that, and he prepared Israel for that. Do a thorough job of repenting. Verse 36, he cries out to God all the way through verse 40. Verse 38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's the fire of God. And when all the people saw it, all of it, all of them, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. We kind of gloss over that sometimes. This Old Testament prophet was a man. He was a rugged man. He's going to run 18 miles as an old man. He's going to run 18 miles and beat the chariot to the king's summer palace. That's amazing. The power of God was upon him. I kind of in my mind picture an old Dale Bishop. With the strength of a young man, you know, the kind that has those hard, bony elbows and knees and fists. And man, he stands up against King Ahab. Now, he stumbles the next chapter. We're not going to go there this morning. But after the great victory and the fire of God falls and the rain's about to fall, before the rain falls, he said, we got a clean house. You go give me those prophets of Baal. And he slays every one of them. What do you have in your household? You're calling out to God for revival. What do you have in your household that is dishonoring to God? Man, you got to take it out of there. You got cigarettes there. You got liquor there. You got pornography there. You got the wrong kind of reading literature there. You got the wrong kind of clothing there. Man, how about revival? Get rid of it. Just if you really want to see the rain, get rid of it. We know the fire of God can come. We want to be part of it. So he kills all the prophets of Baal here. And it says, and so Ahab went up to eat. He says in verse 41, he says, you tell the king he better get some food in his belly. And he better get started on his chariot because it's going to rain. Now it hadn't started raining yet. Elijah's still got to pray. And he's a man of prayer. He said, you tell Ahab he's going to get stuck in the mud with that chariot if he doesn't start right away. Get some food in his belly, and then he better whip those horses, and he better get going and head towards his summer palace because the rain is going to fall. And it came down like a monsoon. It was a gully washer of all gully washers. But before that, Elijah prays. Put yourself in the place of blessing. Do a thorough job of repenting. And ask God for great faith. I'd like to see God visit his people like has not happened in the 21st century. The second great awakening in America lasted 50 years. Wouldn't it be great if we had a revival that took us through the rapture? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Michigan became righteous? Now, here's the truth. It's going to happen by reaching one soul at a time. It's going to happen by churches getting on fire. We aren't going to do it by ourselves. But we take care of our Jerusalem and be a blessing to the others. And God can do a wonderful thing. Chippewa County. When Dr. Flanders was up a couple weeks back, we went out to eat, and everywhere we went, people called me by name. And it kind of makes you feel good when you got a visiting preacher with you. And he said, man, everybody knows you. But he also said this, well, I guess you have been here how many years now? 35, 36? I said, yeah. You know, it's been a long time, and people better know me. And I told him this, and it came out of my mouth without thinking about it. And it cut me to the heart, and he knew exactly what I was talking about. He had a long ministry down in Vassar. I said, as people were saying, hey, Pastor Rader, how you doing? Good to see you. We're walking away. I'd invite them out to church and so forth. We're walking away, and I'd say to Brother Flanders, they used to come to Fundamental. And we go somewhere else, they used to come to Fundamental. And I go somewhere, they used to come to Fundamental. You know, there's a lot of people in this county that used to come to Fundamental. And I used to say, you know what, we'd fill up two or three churches, this auditorium's this size, with the people that used to come. I think it's like 10. I do. My heart breaks for that. They fall away from God. They drift. Nobody ever drifts right. They drift left. And they sputter for a while, and then they fall away. We've helped a lot of weaker brethren, churches, with their congregations. But you know what I find? They don't stay there either. They just kind of falter and drift away. I can go, and I started to do this after I talked to him in my mind. Geographically, I went down different roads in my mind, and I can name people that used to come to this church. And they're everywhere. And some of them are broken homes and broken families, and they've known so much heartache. They still call us for funerals. They still call us when they're in trouble. Sometimes they call us for weddings. Met a guy yesterday. Been gone a long time. He called me pastor. He said, you know, you're still my pastor. I said, come on. If we had revival here, if God's people would get on fire, those people all come back. Because they aren't doing nothing for God. Oh, they may stumble into some righteousness once in a while. But people aren't getting saved. And what would happen if the church got on fire?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.